Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Every week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 20 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in several languages are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. In addition, thousands tune in to our radio broadcasts every week, like this listener in the East African country of Ethiopia, who gave this response to our Amharic language broadcasts. In the past, I listened to Heralds of Hope Amharic programs every Sunday morning before church. Actually, churches are closed now due to the coronavirus. So your sermon and lessons from the Bible comfort us as if we are attending Sunday worship. But the duration of the radio program is too short. Please do something to add more time. That will satisfy us. God bless you. You know, the statement that our Hope for Today programs are too short is one that we hear pretty often. Numerous listeners in different languages have asked us to increase the length of the program or to at least broadcast more often. We strive to do the best we can with the resources that God provides for us. Now, for the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying from Daniel chapter 11, and our study is titled, The Time of the End. According to Daniel's vision in chapter 9 of the 70 weeks, or 77s, the first 69 weeks end with the cutting off of Messiah the Prince. That's in verse 26. And that leaves the final week, or the 70th week, yet to come, according to the last verse of chapter 9. This is the final period of time leading up to the establishing of Christ's eternal kingdom. And it's this time period that's the focus of these ending verses of chapter 11 and the first few verses of chapter 12. The early church father, Jerome, authored a commentary on the book of Daniel, and he stated that, quote, "The Jews believe this passage is a reference to the Antichrist," end quote. So Jerome, like many in his day, saw Antiochus as a type of the coming Antichrist. So far, we've learned that this time of the end will be led by a king who will have a very singular focus. Today, we'll learn that this same king will have a very singular finish. So stay tuned. Right now, I will read the text, Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 to 45. "At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape from his hand: Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also, the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and from the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him." The second part of our text, verses 40 to 45, tells us that during this time of the end, this king of the end will have a very singular finish. So we had a singular focus, now we have a singular finish. The first verse of this section, verse 40, reiterates the words of verse 35, "the time of the end." The military struggle that's mentioned in these verses will characterize the time of the end. You'll notice some familiar terms here in verse 40, such as the king of the south and the king of the north. In verses 2 through 35 in chapter 11, the king of the south represented the Ptolemies from Egypt, while the king of the north represented the Syrian Seleucids. While those empires have faded into oblivion in world history, the messenger who is giving this prophecy to Daniel gives no identification that these general identities have been changed. So the armies mentioned here come from these same geographic regions, but presumably, according to verse 40, they're much larger. They attack the king of the end simultaneously in a pincer movement against the power and rule that he has established. One question that arises in verse 40 is, who is the person referred to as him and he? It seems obvious that this is the same person spoken about in verses 36 to 39, the one we've identified as the Antichrist, the final ruler, or as we're calling him, the king of the end. Another question, what is the relationship of this military struggle to the battle that's described in Ezekiel 38 and 39? Because in both of these texts, you have a great military force from the north that is attacking Israel. Three times in Ezekiel 38, it describes Israel as living in a time of peace. Since its founding in May of 1948, the nation of Israel has been surrounded by enemies and hasn't truly known peace. But when Antichrist sets up his rule, he will make a covenant of peace with them for 3.5 years. He will break that covenant at the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week, ushering in the time of great tribulation with his systematic extermination of the Jewish people. The details of our text seem to indicate a battle that takes place several years later than the one Ezekiel is describing. Now notice that this king of the north will come like a whirlwind with chariots and horsemen and many ships. Now most likely this future battle will be fought with modern military hardware, but using terms to describe those things would have made no sense to Daniel or to his readers. If nothing else, the description of this attacking army indicates that the Antichrist will be extremely powerful. And these attacks from the north and the south against him are perceived as a threat to his authority. So this king of the end will respond very quickly to the attack. He will come into the countries, that is, the countries of those who are attacking him, and he will overflow and pass through, the text says. He'll be like a swift-moving flood of waters. It rises quickly, it brings destruction, and then it passes on, kind of like a future blitzkrieg. His enemies will not be able to stand before him, much like the countries of Europe fell to the Nazi war machine in World War II. And he will continue to dominate the world until his ultimate defeat by the second coming of Jesus Christ. The text says that his conquest will lead him into the glorious land. That's verse 41. And this is clearly a reference to the Holy Land, as we've indicated before. Is this when he breaks his covenant with Israel? Possibly. Many tens of thousands will fall before his onslaught, but it's interesting, there are some who will escape. Our text specifically mentions Edom, Moab, and Ammon, peoples who occupy the land of what is now modern-day Jordan. I don't have an explanation for this, but it may be that the king of the end is so eager to attack Egypt because it is there that he will acquire great treasures of gold and silver and precious things. It's also unclear what the status of Ethiopia and Libya, or Cush, will be. Some think the king of the end will conquer them and they will follow in his train. Others believe the phrase, be at his heels, simply means they will be behind him when he turns his attention from Egypt and heads north once again. Regardless, one thing is clear. The uncontested authority he exercised at the beginning of his reign is no longer intact. As he's leaving Egypt, he receives news from the east and the north about an imminent invasion. And this conflict seems to extend over a period of time, and it's more than just a single battle. It's possible that the tidings out of the east are referring to the vast army that's described in Revelation chapter 9 and verses 13 to 21. In that text, an army of 200 million is described as crossing the Euphrates River and descending on the Holy Land. You know, 200 million might seem like a fantastic number, but the May 1965 issue of Time magazine recorded China's claim to have a militia numbering 200 million, and the population of Asia has increased exponentially in those last 50 years. Now, while this is happening, there is another invasion from the north. Against both armies, the King of the End launches his furious counterattacks. The result is many are destroyed, and he's able to establish his headquarters between the seas in the glorious Holy Mountain. That's clearly a reference to Jerusalem, situated as it is between the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea. Zechariah 14 indicates that the military struggle goes on right up until the moment when Christ physically descends to the Mount of Olives. Yet in spite of all his victories and all his wealth, verse 45 speaks clearly of his singular finish. It says, "He shall come to his end with none to help him." Revelation 19:17-21 describes the destruction of the beast and his armies at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Listen to these words from John Wolford in his commentary on the book of Daniel. Taken as a whole, Daniel 11:36-45 is a description of the closing days of the times of the Gentiles, specifically the Great Tribulation with its world ruler, world religion, and materialistic philosophy. In spite of its satanic support, the world government fragments into sectional disputes and a great world war which climaxes with the second advent of Christ. This brings the time of the Gentiles to a close with the destruction of the wicked rulers who led it. Further details are added in the opening verses of chapter 12. And that's the end of the quote. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back in 1 week to continue this study. If you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just request it by its title, The Time of the End. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Time of the End. We'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And request a free copy of this teaching, The Time of the End, either in print or on an audio CD. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Time of the End, from Daniel chapter 11. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.